Welcome to the Strength Connection Podcast, a show to share stories, insights, and experiences in strength physically, mentally, and spiritually. I'm Michael Krukowski, host of the Strength Connection, and I'm so grateful that you can join me today. So in these episodes, I connect with some of the most inspiring and successful individuals to chop it up and learn from true life experiences that have helped them become who they are, the strongest versions of themselves. So let's dive in. Here we go.
All right. And we're live. What's up, Nora? How are you doing?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like this is a long time coming, so I appreciate you coming on.
Well, I very much appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting because we're in the same area, which is not, there's not that many of us around this spot. So I feel like we've known of each other for a while, but really first only got to start connecting and chatting, you know, a short while ago from there. But all the work that I've seen you do with Her Strength and, you know, the work that you're doing with that studio and stuff, I thought is so awesome. So I was really pumped to just have you on and just jam a little bit.
Thank you. Well, the feeling is definitely likewise.
Yeah. So to kick this off, I always love to hear like the origin story of how things, you know, have come to where you are right now. So obviously you've been doing this for a while. You've gone in a lot of different avenues in the health and fitness field. But what was it first that got you inspired to go into this world of health and fitness, which eventually led you into, you know, building the business that you have right now?
Yeah. So when I was in college, I was a sprinter at Providence, and they are a Division I school. So the strength and conditioning program that came along with being on the track team was pretty intense, and it was extremely well run. And I had never really strength trained like that before. And I felt like it clicked for me even more so than running ever had. And I got excited at, you know, how strong I was getting by spending time in the gym and being consistent, having good coaching, following a program. And I felt like I was like, wow, this actually could be kind of its own thing for me. So I felt less obligated to stay with, you know, the track team, which was very intense, obviously, for Division I. And I felt like being strong and having the tools to kind of do that on my own led me down this path of being like, okay, I'm going to leave the track team. So this was the end of my sophomore year. And I'm going to go play rugby, which was obviously more of like a recreational sport. And then I'm going to keep lifting. Yeah, you're telling me quite a shift. Especially at 5'4" and like 115 pounds. So, but I was fast. That was a big advantage. So, you know, I kind of stuck with lifting for, you know, the rest of my college career and, you know, in falling in love with lifting and working at the gym, I undertook the ACSM certified personal trainer certification. So I would have been about 19 years old, and started training kind of gen pop, at our college gym, some professors, some staff members, some other students. And I really loved the connection that I was able to build with people one-on-one. So through happenstance, met my husband, moved overseas to the UK, went to grad school, and actually have a degree in education, which is like kind of roundabout. But I did not like teaching, and I got back into personal training just after I had my first son. So, so this is like now almost 12 years ago that I, you know, kind of returned to training one-on-one in small group, and then we moved back here in 2014, and again, kind of revisited personal training and stuck to it, and just really like just developed a love for the personal connection and how gratifying it was to be able to help people on that one-on-one basis, and then developed more of a community, and then got into my business.
Yeah. What was it that clicked? You said you kind of clicked with you. So were you not doing any strength training in high school? Was it all just running, or what was it about that time that it just felt like this was a different shift?
Yeah. So I think running always came very easily to me. I was naturally like very fast. And so it was something that I didn't necessarily have to work for. And when we were put in the situation where, you know, we were in a strength and conditioning gym with a very intense coach and a program to follow, and I felt like my work was actually paying off. Like it was actually, you know, I was like, oh, wow, I'm getting stronger this is something that I would like to work at to continue to get stronger, because it was something that challenged me, but I saw the results of the challenge, and the consistency over time. And so for me, that was like, I was like, wow, this is actually something that I would like to continue doing.
What was those early training days like? What was kind of the protocols that they were putting you through in college athletics?
I mean, truthfully, it was awesome. And when I look back at it, I think, God, I wish I had my hands on those programs still, because they were great. They were solid. I mean, we were doing a lot of strict body weight stuff. We were doing we worked on chin-ups regularly. We worked a lot on power development. We had like a lot of med ball like cleans and throws. And then we had kind of your more like traditional like push-pull movements. Obviously we had like plyos and heavy step ups. It was st not unlike what I currently program for our members here. So, it was a great program. I have to give a shout out to Coach White. It was really good.
That's awesome. So having such a great experience with good hands-on programming pretty early on, that's so powerful. Because I remember when I was, 20 years old and started getting into this, and I wanted to train for baseball. I had a coach in Boston, and I found the old workouts that she used to put me through, maybe like a few years ago, just doing cleanup. I can't believe I got through these things. It was just like days of walking lunges over and over again. And when you're 20 years old,
Oh.
when you're 20 years old, it's like you recover in an hour, from that. And I was like, I want to go
Right.
back and try these things again. I think I'd probably be like sore for about like 3 weeks afterwards. But it is funny always seeing the beginning realms of that, of how much your body can take from that. So
Yeah,
you
for
saw the
sure.
buy-in right away.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was funny, because as soon as I left the track team, I my friend and I, who had left the track team at the same time, we were like, we're gonna keep lifting, we're gonna keep going to just the normal gym, and we're gonna keep lifting. And we tried to get into more barbell stuff. So we were doing like trap bar deadlifts and barbell bench press, and we had no idea what we were doing. And it's funny, like thinking back, I was like, wow, what must I have looked like at 19 years old trying to bench press? It was probably just the bar. You
Right,
know,
yeah.
but I feel like I was always kind of on that track of like strength was my preferred method of exercise.
Yeah. I think it's so powerful for younger kids to do that, though. It's like, I think there's always this like finding the best way or the most optimal way to do different things. But I think at that early age, just getting in the volume of just doing shit, like whether it's, perfect or not, like just finding that volume and figuring it out. There is kind of like there's a lost art to that. Like, yeah, you can learn all these things, but just stepping in and just having a passion for it. Like sometimes I think just letting kids just go in and just try these things is one of the best routes that you can take.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, as even like, this was brought back in 2009, it's like there weren't that many women that were in the weights area. There just weren't. It was not really a thing. And we kind of got a lot of comments from the guys, but like positive comments, like, oh, you guys are, lifting pretty good over there or whatever. We didn't know what we were doing, but most of the women were on the cardio machines. They were on the elliptical, they were on the bike, they were on the treadmill. And I tried to like cardio. I tried to do what everyone else was doing and get on the machine for 20, 30 minutes, but I did not have the attention span. I felt like a gerbil, just like a hamster wheel, just going and going and really not feeling like I was getting anywhere or doing any better. I was like, this is just torture. I would so much rather just like do like the hard stuff and then have it be over, rather than just like keep spinning my wheels.
Yeah, it's about a textbook sprinter's mentality right there. Give me 200 meters and I'm good to go.
That's exactly it. That was my limit too. My 200. That was
That's great. It is. I mean, cardio, I think I've learned to like it a little bit more over time, but I'll go like for a run outside, just like an easy jog. But the people, I admire you if you can jump on a treadmill and keep some focus there, because going on a wheel like that or
Yeah.
going on an elliptical, like I tried to do the same thing, almost like there's some benefits to this zone two type work, but no,
Sure.
I better get outside to do it. Otherwise, I'm gonna feel like I'm going crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even like, trying to get on the assault bike here, I have like a 15-minute limit. I can't go any longer than that. I'm just like, no, I just can't do this. And again, I'll agree with you. I have a lot of respect for people who can get on the treadmill and just go, but I'm not one of those people. And I think I was very aware of that probably like early on in life. I was like, yeah, this is not for me. Endurance, no.
So your first introduction into then working with people, you said kind of staff members, kind of people at the college and stuff like that, working with them one on one. Was that an instant love? Was that something like, oh, I can really see myself doing this down the line?
Well, it's funny because I never thought that it would be a career for me. I just thought this would be like a great side gig. I think back about the things that I was doing with the people that I was working with, and I just had no idea what I was doing with programming. Just absolutely no idea. I always plan things in advance, but it didn't. Now, looking back on it, obviously hindsight's 2020. You kind of look back and say, like, oh wow, I could have done much better for these people. But I was a kid and just starting out, and they don't teach you very much about programming in those, like, those kind of general trainer certifications. And so I was just sort of like, it was more about the connection with the people that I was working with and kind of hearing, what they wanted. And I was trying my best to kind of tailor things to be what they wanted. And so again, it was really just like the one-on-one, the ability to connect people. Like I worked with a professor who was in his late 70s at the time, and he would go and swim for an hour. I mean, he was a really fit man. And then he wanted to strength train. He was this tall, thin guy, and he would just do whatever I told him to do. And I loved him, and he was so sweet. I never would have interacted with him because I think I want to say he was maybe like a science professor. And I didn't take any of his classes, so I wouldn't have ever met him. And I kind of knew him at another level. I was like, this is so great. I love this, like connection with people that I wouldn't normally interact with. And so that I think is what I fell in love with as far as, the training, of.
I think I've said this before on the podcast, but I apologize to some of the early clients that I had back like 15 years ago in the programming that I was putting them through. They show you templates of those things, but it's just like anything. Once you get into it, you can't really teach adjustments. And I think that's really the art of coaching, right? It's like, it's the Mike Tyson quote, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. And I was fortunate. I started at a business that had a very heavy senior citizen population. We had the Silver Sneakers program. So we worked with a lot of people in their 60s, 70s, some in their 80s. And I was this, 24-year-old kid with everything was about aesthetics, back then. It's like just how good can you look? And all of a sudden you have people who are just trying to get healthy and they have to change something. And I would put programs together and then would go to some of my senior trainers and they'd be like, yeah, no, they can't do this. They can't do this. They can't do this. And you almost get overwhelmed. But to learn on the fly like that, just to figure it out, it's such a powerful thing. And I think you don't learn that until you just get into the trenches and just get some volume underneath your belt. It's so valuable.
I've a lot of new coaches that I've worked with have said the same thing. It's just seeing bodies. It's seeing people move. It's hearing their feedback. And then you start to see patterns, and you're like, oh yeah, I've seen this before. Here's what I did before. Maybe this will work. Oh, it didn't work. Maybe I'll try this. So it's just like just getting into that, that rhythm. Yeah, that's very true.
Okay, so went to the UK, then went into teaching for a bit, decided to make a shift and then came back here. When what was the bit? Did you go right into starting your own business then, or did you work for at different spots?
No, so I worked when we first moved back here. I worked at what is now Metabolic, but it was like way back when. So we're talking like 2014 to early 2015, when they were in Menands. And so at that time, I had interned for their strength and conditioning gym, which is what they started at. Again, years before that, like when I was in college. And so when I came back to the area, I was actually pregnant with my second son, and I reached out to Matt, the owner of Metabolic, and I said, hey, do you have any classes that need to be covered? Like, you need help at all? And he was like, yeah, absolutely, come in and like we'll talk. So I taught a couple of metabolic classes per week, And then I had this idea. I was like, hey, I'm also thinking like I really want to do a program that's specific to strength training during pregnancy. And at that time, his sister, who is also his business manager, she was pregnant due like the same week as me. And he was like, absolutely, like you're welcome to, do that in this other space next to where we are, on whatever day. So I think I did it. I want to say it was either 2 or 3 days a week to start with, and kind of started building up a clientele there. I was there for like probably less than a year, had my son, and then I moved over to Fitness Artist, which was on right here at Route 9 in Loudonville.
Okay. Yeah, with Travis.
Yes. Yep.
Travis
So I
was my
worked there for
first
2 years.
trainer.
No way. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's right, because he was up in Saratoga. He was in Saratoga, Clifton Park, and Latham. Now he's just in Clifton Park. But I worked there for 2.5 years, and
Okay.
I continued my PregnaFit program at Fitness Artist. So that was like the deal, was I really wanted to be in a space where it was clean and like more upscale, and I felt like I could easily bring in pregnant moms, moms with babies, women who may have felt intimidated or maybe reluctant to work out in like kind of your traditional gym setting. So like a little bit more privacy. And that's what Fitness Artist provided for me for, a few years. And they were great.
Oh,
And
that's
I was
awesome.
really able to kind of build up my clientele there.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, no, I owe a lot to Travis. So he kind of got me into the business before he left to Fitness Artist. We were working at the same spot, for a bit. So, that guy's great. Yeah, no, that's great. So I'm curious about this with PregnaFit because, we know that a lot of, it's so beneficial for women who are going through pregnancy to stay fit and stay healthy, not just for that time, but also afterwards from there. But I don't know, because I don't really have much experience with it. Like, is it still, are women like hesitant about what to do a lot, like when they get into pregnancy, of how to stay fit and strong? Like, is it still like, are they not sure if strength training is the right thing for them or not?
I think there's a spectrum, right? Like I think there's a lot of women who get into like they're in some sort of fitness routine and they get pregnant, and then a lot of them just want to stick to it as much as possible and are like, well, this is what I was doing before, so this is fine. That's kind of like one of the general recommendations that's a little bit debunked, but generally like that's the understanding, so they'll keep going. And then there's other women who were not active prior to getting pregnant, and they're a little nervous or unsure. And so some of the more common, things that you can do during pregnancy that is are like, prenatal yoga, and sort of the more like low impact walking, that kind of thing. And so I think that's kind of what you see is like women who want to keep doing what they're doing versus women who are like who weren't doing anything, who aren't quite sure what to do. And so the idea was to kind of provide that service to both of these types of women where, they may reach a point where they can't keep doing what they were doing, for whatever reason. And they, are looking for some alternative where they can stay active, but they can't quite do all the things they're doing. Like, for example, we see a lot of women who come here who are doing a lot of HIIT, like a lot of the high intensity intervals. Or they do like a lot of the cardio-based workouts like Orange Theory. And so they feel like, no, this doesn't really feel quite right for me to continue this. And so I need something else. And then, we also have women who it's, they didn't work out through their first pregnancy, maybe through their second pregnancy, and then they're pregnant with their second or their third. And they're like, okay, yeah, I saw what that was like to not work out. And now I feel like I need to work out. So it is a wide spectrum. I think it is much more, and thanks to social media, which I never thought I'd say that, but thanks to social media, it is more, I think, well accepted across the spectrum that it's great to work out during pregnancy, and strength and conditioning is actually one of the like, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, like they have their guidelines. It's actually in that list. So you can kind of point to that and say like, hey, this is actually like officially recognized as like a preferred method of and safe method of working out when you're pregnant.
Okay. What are some of the biggest things that you learned from like studying more of like, prenatal and postnatal training? Because I see the workouts that you're doing still, and as we're recording this, you're what, 23, 24 weeks pregnant at the time?
23, yep.
Yeah, and still crushing out a lot of just standard great strength training and work there. Did you, is this like where there's some things that you learn where like, wow, I can, I'm still capable of doing this that maybe you weren't sure if you could do or not?
Yeah, for sure. And I think everyone is different. I do think, again, there's something to be said about what you were doing prior to pregnancy. Because mainly, like, your body is conditioned to do certain things. Do I program my workouts the same way as I program my PregnaFit workouts? No. And, do we have some women who work out the way that I do during their pregnancy? Yes, we do. But the fact is, like, as long as you're, moving, then, that's the main thing. It just depends, on a lot of factors. There's so many factors
Oh, sure.
that contribute. A lot of it is like a kind of a general guideline that we recommend is the rate of perceived exertion, right? So, like, how hard do you think that you're working when you're doing something? And depending on what you did prior to pregnancy, depending on what you're used to, depending on where you are in your pregnancy. So, like, first trimester versus third trimester is like completely different. Even the beginning of third trimester versus the end of it are totally different as well. So, what you think is like really hard, in third trimester may have started out being like super easy in first. So it's always just constantly checking in with yourself. How am I feeling when I'm doing this? And oh, maybe this doesn't feel good anymore. Like, for myself, I know I have tried to continue doing pull-ups as long as possible because I was working really hard on them prior to becoming pregnant. And it's definitely becoming much more challenging. For sure, I can still do like three, but they don't look like they did before. So I'm starting to think like, okay, maybe I need to like kind of resign to the fact that I need to go to more, modified versions of this. And but like, yeah, everyone's different, and everyone has different adaptations as they go through. So there are some things that can happen, with the pelvis, with pelvic floor, with the core, lots of other things that can happen that can kind of change the way that your body feels when you're working out. Like, lunges might not feel great in third trimester, but yeah, there's like quite a lot to it. So it's being able to have someone who understands, so they have like the empathy piece, but also the knowledge of like, okay, if this doesn't feel good, then let's try this because this might feel better and this is why. So yeah.
Do you approach that with your training now as you've gone through this pregnancy? Like when you talk about RPE, I'm always curious about RPE because I think it's a great conversation. The pull-up, I think that's an easy one everybody can understand. Like you can see the speed, like how many reps you can get. Are you also looking at RPE with people like on the conditioning side or the recovery side, a little bit of kind of a combination of all?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that strength training has the advantage of being able to rest between your sets, and so being able to continuously check in with yourself throughout your workout is helpful too. I definitely keep conditioning in for my clients because labor is typically like a very long conditioning session. And so trying to keep that in whatever form it looks like if it's on the bike, if it's on the rower, if it's pushing the sled, if it's battle ropes, whatever it is, if it's just genuinely like just getting through a session without like a ton of rest time, that's also a big factor. We do try to keep in as much as possible. But yeah, the RPE is like yeah, it's different for everyone, right? Because of course, if I do one pull up, I'm like, yeah, that was hard, but like it wasn't. If I'm talking about a scale of 1 to 10, just for ease, it was probably like a 6, not a 10. Whereas someone who wasn't doing them prior to pregnancy would probably be like, absolutely not. I'm not even gonna attempt that because that would be like off the charts hard for me. But yeah, it's like, and a lot of people still wear like heart rate trackers. So, and typically, with higher blood volume, you're going to get bigger spikes in, your heart rate when you are working out. And so the key is just checking like your recovery time. How long does it take your heart rate to come back down? And so we kind of keep like a rough eye on that as well. But you can really tell by the way someone is moving. And the way that they are looking in between sets to how hard they're working. Like, again, that's volume of like just seeing people over time for
Right.
sure.
Yeah. RP, I always think it's interesting because RPE is, it's a skill just like anything, right? And it's like, it's very easy to know what a 10 out of 10 and a 1 out of 10 is. But the differentiation between a 6 and a 7, that's going to take some volume. So I'm almost like, for beginners, I'm almost like, is it easier to do like a 1 to 5 scale? Like, I think you know the difference between a 3 and a 4 a little bit more. 10 could be a little bit like tough. I've had clients before where I was like, what's the RPE on that? And they're like, I don't know. It's like a 6 or is it a 9? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that's a skill just like anything. So I think if you're just getting started, it might even be easier just to start with like a 1 to 5, gives you a little bit bigger jumps from one to another.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've tried to use the RPE scale 1 to 5 and 1 to 10 in the past, just with our like gen pop clients. But also, I had a coach, I don't know, like a few months ago, who started using reps in reserve with some of our people. And I was like, yeah, that's actually a good. So it was like a lot of people who were doing barbell. And she said, okay, let's keep, 2 reps in reserve or 1 rep in reserve.
Oh, I
And
like that.
so that was, I think, helpful because I've heard that before and I don't think I've ever used it with anyone. But I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, could you have done one more? Could you have done two more? So sometimes framing it in that way versus like how hard you think you're working is helpful. I don't ask people like where are you on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 5. I typically just kind of like look at them and I listen to their breathing and I listen to their verbal response to me. And again, everyone is different, but it's like you are going to have to go outside your comfort zone. So when we're talking about pregnancy, training for labor is like labor is going to be for most women, unless you have a planned C-section or something along those lines where it's a more controlled situation. If you go into labor and you are laboring naturally, it can be a very long time. And even if it's not over hours and hours, even if it's a shorter labor, it gets very intense very quickly. So the question is like, how do we train for something that we don't really know? It could be a sprint, it could be a 400, it could be a 3000. Like, we don't know how far they're going to have to go. So if we can kind of train all modes throughout all stages of pregnancy, then we will have prepared them as best that we can, with our knowledge.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Like, I love this program that you have. I want to shift. I want to ask you a little bit about how you got into the kettlebell world. So you were working into metabolic. What was your first introduction into the kettlebell system, particularly with Strong First, because you're an elite instructor?
So I first started working a little bit with kettlebells when I was in the UK. There was another coach that worked at the gym that I was working at, and he used kettlebells. He was kind of a quirky guy, so I was like, are kettlebells for weird people? And then the answer is yes, by the way.
I
But
say yes.
the answer is definitely yes. Now I understand why he was so strange. But he like loved the kettlebell, and I couldn't understand like why are you so obsessed with kettlebells? McDonald's like basically do the same thing. Anyway. So down the line, when I was working at a fitness artist, I worked with another coach, James House, and James introduced me to the Strong First style of training. Actually, we went to our SFG together down in New York City. And it's so funny when I think about, he was training for it, I was training for it, he was trying to give me feedback, and it was like it was hard. It's like none of us really knew what we were doing. But I was like, I love this because again, as an athlete, I was like, this is something that I can work at and I can get better at. And it's skill-based, so not everyone can do it. So it was like anyone can pick up a pair of dumbbells and do a bench press. Like anyone can do that kind of thing, but with kettlebells, there's so much more finesse, and it's like that bar is just a little bit higher. I think that's what kind of allowed me to fall in love with it, and I liked the fact that when you are training for that certification, you really had to be serious and consistent with it. Obviously having all the tests, all the strength tests, and plus the snatch test. I was like, wow, I really have to like take this seriously. I have to stay consistent with it. Even on days I don't want to train, I still have to train because I have to do 100 snatches in 5 minutes. So at that time, obviously my snatch form was terrible. It was so bad. It was like terribly inefficient. So, you know, again, when I think about it, I'm like, wow, it was like really rough. But it just goes to show that the more that you work at it, the better that you're going to get. So that was kind of like my introduction of getting into strong press. I probably worked with kettlebells for, I don't know, maybe like a year, maybe a year and a half before I actually got certified.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting thing of getting it. I thought the same thing. It's like this is a different tool, but the quirkiness I'm just cracking up at is because it's a great community, but it is a group of quirky people in many different ways. I thought it's hilarious too.
For
Like
sure.
when I was first going into the RKC, so this is going way back into the day. I don't even remember how I was training for it. I just knew that I needed to pass a snatch test. So I think I just snatched 3 days a week and I was like, all right, I'll figure the rest of the stuff out as I go along. Now looking back, it's like how much just vicious torture I just put on my body of just trying to get as many snatches as I could in that time. But
Yeah,
again, I think it
right.
goes back to just getting in that volume at the beginning steps. You'll figure out kind of the best route for you down the line, and they teach you there. It's now they do it on the third day. When I did it, they did it on the first day. The first thing you ever did is grab a kettlebell, go out and do 100 snatches, and then you started going into the weekend. It was a crazy difference of things from there.
So if you didn't do it, did you just like get kicked out? They're like, can't do snatches, get out.
So, it's I think I've told this story before, but I was, I think, the last group that did the snatch test on the first day because
That's so
we had
funny.
a guy in our group that, because a lot of people were going in, and why they changed it, which I think is really, powerful, is so many people had terrible technique going in. And so the first thing you're going to do is have somebody do a max effort test, of shoulder mobility, of leg work and stuff. And so I think just they saw a lot of just sloppy snatching going on for a while. And there was a guy in my group who was a monster, but I think he had a little bit of an elbow or a shoulder injury beforehand that wasn't, known about. And he dislocated his shoulder on like the 98th rep. And that was like the start of the
Oh my
weekend.
God.
And Nora, I was always say, I was so happy that I went right before him and finished.
Yeah, right.
Because if I saw that afterwards, my mind fuck would have been so off of being like, oh my God, what the heck's gonna go on? And
Oh my
it
God.
was not like
Yeah.
everybody treated it like well, and it like it was a perfect thing that everybody got together and it was fine. And this guy, I think, came back eventually down the road and completed. This guy was like an FBI agent. Like he was a strong, tough dude. But just I think it was like, okay, we can adjust some things and we can sh change some things down the line. And I always appreciated that about the system, is they're always looking to improve different ways to approach things. It's like not just say, oh, this has worked for a while. Like, let's see if we can improve on something that's already proven. And I think it's just a testament of just good coaching in general, of just seeing those things.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, what I love about Strong First is like every time I go to a certification to like either get certified or assist, I'm always learning more. And you're right, they update the manual a lot. And I know that I think they introduced a new SFG manual, maybe it was maybe 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, look at all these new pages. And everyone else is like, what are you talking about? I'm like, shh, it's fine. And how like intricate all like the programming stuff is. And they really, I think that's another thing that I think I love about it is it's so prescribed. They give you as many tools as possible to like make sure that you are one, representing the brand well, and two, able to convey that knowledge well, with some sort of plan going forward. Because it's like the randomness is kind of what leads you down this path of like not really seeing any, results or not being able to measure your progress as you're going through. But if you have a plan, then you actually are going to be able to see that progress. And it's going to be much more linear than not having a plan and just doing random stuff.
Yeah. So what was your journey through Elite? I know you start with level one. Did you go right to level two, or did you go into the body weight or the barbell ones after?
So I did my SFG first. And then I did my SFG 2 about 10 months later. And then obviously I renewed my SFG at my SFG 2. So I did that. And then so that was in September. And then in let's see, it would have been in January, I did my SFL. So it's like 4 months later, I did SFL. And then in August, I did my SFB. So within a year, I had done all the certifications. And so that was my first like elite. And then I renewed my elite like however long it was later, with Doc.
Which one is there anyone that sticks out as where was the most challenging for you, or and also where did you feel like you maybe learned the most that you didn't know before?
Yeah, so I think movement-wise, the most challenging was the one-arm push-up. I mean, I think for SFB, the one-arm push-up was definitely the hardest. I thought I was never going to do it. I was like, this is impossible. There's no freaking way I'm never going to do this. I'm just going to be like training for this forever until I die. But miraculously, I did do it, and like thanks to like some very very valuable feedback from Karen Smith. She was awesome. She was really great, like in being like, no, do this, do that, and like try this and tweak that. I was like, okay, great. And I actually was like four months pregnant when I did my SFB. So that was fun. That threw a little
Just to throw a
like
little
a
extra,
little extra fun
just an extra
for
wrinkle
my
in the
one-arm
paper.
push-up. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, this is all really hard, but I'm pregnant. And then I think knowledge-wise, the SFL, I was blown away, like totally blown away by how much was involved in the SFL. I've been barbell deadlifting and, back squatting for a long time, but all the other movements were very new to me. I just had never done them before. And I think training for it was a big challenge, but then actually physically going to that certification and realizing the volume of, information that was going to be thrown at me. And even that last day where you talk about programming, I was like totally zoning out. I was like, I don't even know how to absorb all of it, which obviously, like, you don't have to absorb all of it because you have the manual, but the manual is so thick. I think to me, I was like so blown away by how, I also was blown away by how involved Dr. Hartle was at that certification,
Oh,
because
you had Doc.
I
Okay.
didn't feel like, yeah, so I didn't feel like my SFG, I didn't feel like I got a whole lot of one-on-one attention, not from the master instructor anyway, but at my SFL, I felt like Doc really spent a lot of time with, because I came with three other women that were came from my gym, and we all went together, and he spent a lot of time with us, like really making sure that we were like grasping, every concept in every lift that we were doing. And it was still a big cert. There were a lot of people there, but he really did take the time to like get into each group and really make sure that he had that face time with people. And so, I changed my military press literally there. And that was definitely my hardest lift. And I was like, so it was like very, that fifth rep was a challenge, like a serious grind. And so it was like a miracle that I passed it. But it was just, yeah, it was great. It was, I know I'd highly recommend SFL. If people are going to do one, SFL is it, I think.
It's so funny you said that because SFL was the last one that I did to get elite, and I had really similar sentiments of you. Like I learned so much from that, and I was trying not to be biased on it because I was also a much more experienced coach going into SFL than I was like SFG or SFG2. But just the knowledge base that you get on just movement in general was insane. And I had Fabio is one of my favorite people in the world, but Fabio can talk for a long time. So we didn't even do the programming at that time. We actually set up another date down the line to go over all
Oh my
the
gosh.
program. And Fabio,
Oh,
God bless
wow.
him, he woke up at like 2 a.m. Italy time and did like a 3 hour seminar for us on all the different
Wow.
programming. It was amazing. But there's something
That's
really
great.
Yeah, there's something really special about SFL and how they do the testing there because like everybody steps up and it's like your time like in the spotlight from it. It's almost like a baseball game, like
Yeah.
it's your time at bat where okay, now you're going up, you're doing your five reps and everybody's around just like watching and like just going on.
Yep.
It was a really special moment, but SFB I thought was the most challenging. And I told people before like if you're going to start with one on like understanding your body, SFB is going to change everything. I felt sick for 2 days afterwards. Like Like you had this, I was talking with Mike
Yeah.
Torres there, who's a great guy, and he's like, oh yeah, he's like, you're gonna feel, because there's so much tension that you have to build in your body, and without any external load that you have of like a, barbell, like if you're gonna lift, your max deadlift, yeah, you're going to be tight. Like you have to create tension in your body in order to do it. But to do a, like to do a push-up or to do a one-arm push-up, like you have to create that force in your body. So it really is that mind-body connection, which was so different. That's why the hardest for me to coach people has been on some of the body weight principles rather than the kettlebell or barbell work.
Yeah, I agree. I actually I just had, I think so last summer, I had someone approach me and she said, like, I signed up for SFB. I'm going in August. This was in like maybe late May. And I was like, oh God. How close are you to that like one arm push up? And she was like, and I don't, she didn't realize at the time that she like had to do them all on the day to pass. And I was like, yeah, like this is no joke. Like you have to actually start, training for this. And so fortunately she had her pull up or her chin up, and then she pretty much had her pistol, but the one arm push up, like you just have to put in the time. And it's, you can't, I think as a coach, we're so used to saying, okay, try this and this and this, and then put it all together, and then you get your result. With the one arm push up, there are so many internal factors that you have to feel within yourself that no one can tell you how to feel it, because I feel it differently in my body than anyone else would feel it in their body. And so I'm like, this is what worked for me. This is how I positioned like my pelvis. This is how I thought about like squeezing my butt. This is how I positioned my free arm. But and like the incline slowly decreasing the incline over time worked for me, but it didn't always work for her. She was like, oh, I don't feel like I get the connection there. But then it was like other things like the banded or like the when I pushed it to a block or whatever. It was like it just very much depended on how she felt it in her own body. And it was for sure, again, just volume over time, like failing. That's how I felt when I was training for SFB. I was like, because I remember I was working with coaches, excuse me, remotely, and they said, they were like, yeah, you might get it by August. This was right after SFL in January. I was like, 8 months? Like, is it gonna take that long? They were like, yeah, you might do it. Miracle of miracles, I did it by, I think it must have been like maybe late June. But it was like a straight up miracle that I did it. Like, I don't know how I did it, but it's, again, people can't, like they, and there was the same thing with my coaches giving me, they were like, well, try this drill, try this drill, try this drill, try this technique, try that. And eventually I was like, oh, click. But it was like, it didn't make it any easier. I just knew the technique that I had to repeat in order to achieve that movement. And so it was the same, it's the same. I think that's why it's so hard to tell people like to how to gain tension in their body when there's nothing external to them. It's literally just you, yourself, and your one arm push up.
That's interesting. I like that analogy that has like, yeah, you need to feel what it feels like in your body. Like it's going to feel different from one person to another. I think of it, it's kind of like a golf swing. Like if you ever play golf, that first time you actually hit it, like on the spot you're supposed to, and you're like, oh, okay, now I know what I'm supposed to feel. It doesn't mean you have it. It's just now you got a
This
little
is,
bit of a
yeah.
taste of it.
That's why I hate golf. And this is also why I was also a terrible triple jumper. Like, I was so fast and I loved the triple jump, but I could never repeat the same steps. It was different every single time. And so it's the same thing. Like, you have to be able to repeat each step within your body. And that was something that I learned, like very specifically for SFB, because I did not know how to do that before. And then I was like, okay, nope, repeat, sit back, like do this, squeeze there, put that, breathe, and then do it. And it was like, oh, okay, if all those things line up, now I can do it.
That is interesting. The just the repetitive of pattern is, it's not like a deadlift where if you just keep getting stronger, like you're gonna have the deadlift in there, or like a press. It is, it's because I remember I gave myself 6 months for SFB, and I probably like hit one arm, one leg like four times throughout the spot. And it's like one day I'm like, all right, I got it. And then like the next week, like I come back and I'm training it again and it's not there again. I'm like, oh my God, you lose it
Yeah.
again. It really is. It's just finding that specific balance from there. So that's why I think the detail of the amount of information that you get from something like SFL or SFG is so powerful. But actually learning the body awareness yourself, like I found like I gained so much more strength in other areas of my lifting after doing SFB by just understanding these
Oh yeah.
principles. Yeah. It wasn't even
Oh
like
yeah.
being able to do like a one-arm push-up or getting better at hanging leg raises, but just the awareness that you get of where that tension is in your body is just, it's a
Right.
different skill set.
It is for sure. And it's so funny. Like I swore that I would never do a one arm push up again because I was like, that was so terrible. I like hated training for it. I did it once and I was like, forget it, we're done. But when I was training that client for SFB, one day I was like, I feel kind of strong. Like, I'm gonna just see if I can do it. And I did it. And I was like, okay, apparently I could like bang this out. But it's because again, you feel it in your body, and then you start to be able to train like that. So as you're doing like, one arm floor presses, or as you're doing pull-ups, or whatever it is that you're doing, you're just regaining that tension. So it's almost like it's like the like you're just like your neural pathway just like ignites again, and it's like bang, I could do that now. Oh, okay. It's like riding a bike, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, that's funny. Once in a while, I'll test just to see if I still have it. And I did it last week. And every time I just go in without thinking about it, I can get it done. When I start actually focusing on
Yes.
it, it's there. I think I watch Oz do like a video and like he's banging out like sets of 10 on one side. And I'm like, all right, I need to get one in here just to feel like I have some
Yeah.
strength in my body. There's some amazing people that are in this community that have
Yeah.
some crazy strength. But it's like when you, it does build those neural pathways, like just going and revisiting again. I probably won't do it again as far as a specific program for a bit, but just to have it is
Yeah,
just check in on
right.
yourself every once in a while on it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. That's the fun of all the skills.
All right. So your business now, you have Her Strength. First off, one of the most beautiful gyms. I love the studio that you have.
Thank
You host
you.
an awesome thing every once a month on Sunday, which I get to come down and just be a student for the day, which I always love from there. What was it? Was there something specific that was in your mind that you wanted to make a gym specifically for women?
So it's interesting. Like at the beginning of my career, I always trained, I trained Gen Pop. So anyone. And then when I started kind of getting more into the prenatal, postnatal world, I saw the value of connecting women with each other that were at very similar stages in life. And that's kind of how it just naturally evolved from PregnaFit, so strength training during pregnancy, into so many of those members were like, well, okay, what's next now that I have my baby, like now what do I do? I want to keep coming. And I was like, okay. So we created a postnatal program, and as that community grew, and as some of these women were having their second, third children, and their kids were getting older, I saw the value in the connection between the women that continued. And I think for me, I felt like, that support, it was like it was a mutual support, and there was no intimidation, when you came into an all women's class. Back when I was a fitness artist, it was like, I was like, wow, there's like, these women all love each other and they support each other. And, it's like, they're able to explore strength, and feeling strong and feeling confident in their body and feeling resilient, in and among each other, without there being kind of that intimidation factor. And so it did very much evolve. I thought for a brief time about opening a gym that was just focused on pre and postnatal. But truthfully, like, I saw a lot of parallels even with women who did not have children, who were going through very similar things in their bodies and faced similar challenges. Maybe they didn't go through those actual stages of like pregnancy, postpartum, but they were still feeling, like they wanted a strong core, they wanted a strong pelvic floor, they wanted to feel good in their bodies, and didn't want to do it in a way that was depleting. And so I felt like there was just this huge need for something that, you know, it, there wasn't anything like what I thought about creating. And so when I opened HerStrength in May of 2018, you know, I was like, I want to include all women in this. And so for a long time, a lot of our clients were, you know, in their 30s, like early 40s. And then as time went on, we sort of evolved into, you know, integrating women in their 50s, 60s, 70s. And again, it just that kind of that sense of community and the lack of intimidation, and almost like the freedom to kind of do what they wanted to and explore things that they had never done before, it just got bigger and bigger. And so that's really like it really was not a matter of being like, you know, the no boys club. It was literally just a case of we specialize in the woman's body, you know, those different stages that we go through. And so now we're able to also accommodate women who are going through, you know, menopause, postmenopause, are facing issues with osteopenia, osteoporosis, and, you know, have like lifetime injuries going on that they are not able to, you know, have accommodated elsewhere. And so, you know, it's been just like a very powerful, community that we've built.
I love that. Yeah. It's interesting. I, you know, being in this business for, you know, 15, 16 years now, sometimes I, you know, the people that I connect with and, you know, work with all the times are ones that want to like improve and want to get like, you know, better. And sometimes almost I feel like I don't see the big population as much like going out specifically from like I'm old enough in this where it still felt like there was a stigma for some women that felt like strength training wasn't for them as much. It was still kind of like doing a lot of cardio based work. I feel like that shifted in just the experience that I've had, but you're a lot deeper into that world from there. Do you still see that with women that come in feeling like they're like they don't know what to do or that there's still like, you know, this stigma around strength training for women?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that I see women who are in their 20s and 30s are pretty much convinced, I think, that like strength training is kind of, you know, the best way for them to have ideal body composition, and have like a great fitness level and resilience and preventing injury and all that kind of stuff. The older generation is a little bit of a harder sell often. So women who are in their 50s and 60s that we talk to, yes, a lot of them are very stuck in that mentality. Like, well, I have to do more cardio if I want to lose weight because I have to burn calories. So it's just the conversation of like, okay, but if you want your body to burn more calories at rest, you have to have a higher muscle to fat ratio. Like, you have to make sure that you have more muscle. And so they're like, well, I don't want to look bulky. Okay, then, you know, don't train 2 days, 2 times a day, 7 days a week for the next 6 years. Just doing bodybuilding stuff, you know? So it's like, so the way that I explain it to people too is I say, you know, what we do here is functional strength training. And what that means is you're going to be engaging multiple muscle groups at one time. You're always going to get a full body workout. And what that means is your body will start to develop that muscle at all the same rate. So you're never going to like wake up one day and go, oh my God, my shoulders are huge. Or like, I can't put on my pants because my quads are so giant. Like, that's just not going to happen because what you're doing in here very much mirrors what you do in your everyday life. It just makes all that stuff easier. So as you're kind of evenly building muscle throughout your body, you're going to see those changes gradually over time, but they're going to be you know, they're going to be more even and more noticeable. And you're going to say, okay, now again, over time, I like the way that my body looks and feels, as opposed to being like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore because it's, you know, it's definitely it's making me giant or whatever.
Right. And I think it is so powerful with people. I mean, this is for men too, but I think particularly women, when you actually feel that progress of being strong, like, can you actually get that? Like, when you actually feel strong in your body and you feel body composition, obviously, I mean, I've gone through that, you know, myself. Like, it is a confidence boost when you start seeing those changes that you want in your body. But that feeling of strong, it's almost like you can't explain it to someone until they walk that line and they start getting into it. And then I used to say, like, at my old gym, I used to see the difference in someone after a few months of that they're making progress by how they walked into the gym. Like, it was just that difference in confidence level. It's like that just swagger that they had. Like, it's just, it portrayed in everything that they do. And I said, that's something you can't teach, but you just notice it in every other facet. And once they get into it and learn these principles, then yeah, then they're golden.
Yeah, for sure. I think that for women, feeling strong and resilient in themselves is so insanely valuable when it comes to like every stage in life. Like being a mom is like, it's so physical. You're constantly having to like pick kids up, run after kids, like pick this up, pick that up, put that away. Like it's very physical. And then fast forward to, you know, when you're in your 60s and 70s, you're retired and you want to travel. You want to be able to continue to stay independent and feel like you're able to handle yourself and you don't need help and you're not going to throw your back out by bending over and picking something up off the floor. You know, we had this woman come in several months back and she just walked into the gym and she said, "I am getting close to retirement. And when I retire, I want to travel. And I want to be able to carry my own suitcase. I want to be able to put my carry-on up into the overhead bin by myself. And I want to feel like I can do all of that stuff by myself. And right now, my body, I don't feel that. I don't feel strong. So I would like to change that." And I was like, "That's amazing. We can 100% help you with that." And so fast forward a few months later, I mean, she's absolutely thriving. She was stronger, I think, that she gave herself credit for. But the fact that she can see that in the gym, she can see that she's got measurable progress in the gym, that she's lifting heavier than she was before, she's moving better, she's got better endurance. You know, that I think translating that to then, okay, now I can go and travel to Europe. I can go, you know, to a bunch of different countries and feel like I can handle myself. That is like just such a deep value.
That's a woman that knows her why right there. That's beautiful.
Yeah, right. I know. I was like, she's great. She's an awesome person.
That's awesome. So Nora, in in your experience now doing this for a while, is there something that pops up? Like, what's the biggest evolution in how you coach now versus how you coached from the beginning? Is there some things that you've changed, big time, or is there also things that maybe you doubled down on since the beginning?
So I think one of the things that I've learned over time is to not try to reinvent the wheel. You know, and I think that's definitely been solidified by staying kind of in the strong first world in strength training. There are so many places and trainers and these like kind of trending workouts that are always looking for like the next best thing and the next most exciting thing. And the fact is, like, typically it's not sustainable, typically leads to injury, and it's just simply not needed. And so if we stick to the basics, and you know, that's not to say that we can't have variation, because we absolutely do have variation, especially when it comes to the modality that we're using. You know, kettlebell, barbell, body weight, dumbbell, band, there's lots of things that we're doing. But if we're focusing on those same principles, push, pull, hinge, squat, you know, split stand, stabilize, like if we're sticking to those basic principles and we're just doing them over and over and over again, then that's what's going to get the best results. And that's what's going to be most sustainable over time. And I think earlier in my career, I was like, "Oh, well, this is like a fun trend. Like maybe I could do this." Or, you know, I like high intensity interval training is like really super fun. I'm going to like, you know, I'm do all this crazy stuff. I'm going to like stand on my head and do push-ups. And I did CrossFit for several years and it was like, did I have fun? Absolutely. Like, are there people who can thrive doing CrossFit? For sure. But like, generally speaking, with my clients, I see the best and most sustainable results when it comes to sticking to the basics and getting really good at those basics, because they're the most transferable movement patterns to everything else that you're going to do. So that's, I think, probably what I've learned in my ripe old age of 34.
Exactly. You know, it's funny, and I've worked with Brett Jones, been my coach forever, and why I love working with him so much is I've had an issue with something, or we're working on a technique, and he's like, "Oh, do this," and I was like, "And that fixes it." And I was like, "You taught me that like 10 years ago." It's like not reinventing the wheel. It's just, oh yeah, this still works. Go back to this. And it is, even in your mind, like you always think like, oh, it's something new. I need to work on this, or it's like it's something new that I'm not seeing. It's like, no, don't reinvent the wheel. Keep focusing on that principle-based work. And it sounds so trite, but it is just the foundation that builds on everything. And I think you can take that lesson into physical realm. You could take it into business and, career and relationship. I mean, everything in there. That's such a beautiful, experience. But Nora, you're fucking awesome. Thank you so much for coming. I
Oh,
really
thanks,
appreciate you
Mike.
jumping on. I've wanted to chat with you for a while and, really love the work that you're doing. So yeah, I appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. If people want to check you out, check out Her Strength, follow more of what you're doing. What's the best place that they can go?
So our website is herstrength.studio, and we're on Instagram at her_strength_studio, and then you can find me at Coach Nora Matthew.
Perfect. Awesome. Nora, thank you so much. Listeners, thank you so much for jumping on. Go follow Nora. Check you guys on the next one. All right, peace.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found some great value here. And if you like this episode, please drop a comment and leave us a 5-star rating and review. It does more to build the show than you can imagine. And do not forget to check out and join the Strength Connection Facebook group. In this group, I share the biggest takeaways and lessons from these amazing conversations, as well as training and strength tips for pursuing mastery and fulfillment in life. This group is filled with individuals looking to take full control over their strength, and it's the perfect space to explore new ideas and to share your journey. You'll also get exclusive access to the Strength Connection Mastery Seminars. It's a deep dive into the physical, mental, and spiritual training that you can begin using immediately. So do not wait. Go now. Seriously, go. All right, much love to you. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you on the next one.